This message, entitled Hidden in Plain Sight, was delivered to Christ on Rock Bible Church on Christmas Day 2016 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr.
Is not our God a good God? Amen.
Amen.
And praise God, greatly to be praised.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, throughout this Advent season, we have been taking a look at the cradle and the cross and the crown. And today on Christmas Day, we come to the second half of what we've had before us before, specifically looking at the crown. Okay? Specifically looking at the crown. Praise the Lord. In the midst of the pessimism and the gloom and the frustration of the present hour, we are not to be spending all of our time wringing our hands. The angel said to the frightened shepherds, "Fear not." Why? Because they were scared to death. They were sorely frightened, the scripture says. And Jesus said at one point, "Fear not, because I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again." The cradle, the cross, and the crown are but three acts in God's cosmic play. The first act was that first Christmas when God entered history in a new way, in Jesus Christ. In Act 2, this is not Acts chapter 2, I mean in Act 2 of the play, at the cross, God solved the sin problem by Jesus Christ when he shed his blood for our sins. In Act 3, which is actually yet to come, God will bring the world peace that people have been yearning for through Jesus Christ. The only thing is, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. It's not going to be what people think peace is. Remember Jesus said that. I said this last night. That he made it clear. He says, when I give you peace, it's not going to be like the world gives peace. Peace with God is reconciliation with a holy God when you're not. Amen? Praise God. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Praise the Lord. There's a popular song entitled, "The King is Coming." The King is coming, and when he comes, sin is eliminated. Now, it's already a done deal, and Satan is already defeated, but the remnants of that battle still go on. Amen? I mean, it still continues. He's still at it, but he doesn't stand a chance. I said this last night, too. He doesn't stand a chance. He's defeated already, and I think he knows it, but he's going to try to take as many people down with him as he can. Tears are going to be wiped away from every eye. Disease shall be no more, and even death will be eliminated from the human scene. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and war shall be no more. This is the promise of Christmas. This is our hope. This is the Christmas star that lights our evening darkness. There's something in this that is just kind of stirring in my heart and my soul for when, if we do get to Michigan this coming week, when we come back, there's just something about Jesus being the light that certainly becomes the focus in the season of Epiphany. And it's already starting to stir. I mean, we're only to Christmas, and it's already starting to stir. This is the assurance that a new day is coming through the Messiah, whose name is called by Isaiah the prophet, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Christmas should be a time of renewed hope, Not hope in the status quo. Not hope for whether we want this thing or that thing. Not hope in a particular concept, but hope in Christ. Amen? Hope in Christ. Hope that God is still in the shadow of history. Hope that despite our tangled bungling, God will bring order out of chaos. Today, this Christmas day, our imaginations go back 2,000 years to the first Christmas when the world experienced three phenomena. First, there was a star. There were many stars in the sky, but none like this one. I believe it was an extremely special one. I believe it was on purpose. I believe it's kind of like in Jonah's day when there was a special fish that God created in order to keep Noah for the, or not Noah, but Jonah for those days under the sea. I think the same thing is true of the star. I don't think it was a normal star. I think it's kind of foolish to try to figure out whether it was a comet or whether it was this or whether it was that. It's something God put in the sky, I believe. Amen? I don't think God is somehow not up to it. God can do all things. And this star shone with an aura and a brilliance of another world. It was as though God had taken a lamp from the ceiling of heaven and hung it in a dark sky over the troubled water. Second, there was a new song in the air. A new song in the air. I wonder if the sheep and the lambs were bleating a little differently than they ever did before. I wonder if there was just a strange set of notes that hadn't really been heard before, because these angels hadn't done this before. These angels hadn't come down and said, "Glory in the highest," before. With the coming of God in the flesh, hope sprang in the heart of man. And led by angelic beings, the whole world took up the refrain, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And thirdly, there was good news. There was good news. The good news that at last a Savior had come to save men from sin. Jesus was the central theme of that Christmas, that first Christmas. It's been a lot of years since then, but that first Christmas. The star, the song, the gifts, the joy, the hope, the excitement, all were because of Him. This is God's gift of Christmas. The cradle, His Son, the cross, His life, the crown, His coming kingdom. But a gift to be complete, I mean really complete, has to be received. I mean, it's still a gift, you understand, even if you don't receive it. But God's purpose is that it would be received, held on to, and let it enlighten your life. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? In John chapter 1 verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become sons of God, children of God, the people of God. Glory be to God." Amen? Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, I'd like you to turn to number 267. Let's pray first. Let's go ahead and just pray first and kind of invoke God's Spirit to be upon us here on this Christmas day. Praise God. Lord, I just lift up Your holy name, dear God. I desire above all things, Lord, that Your presence be here. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would touch our hearts as we hear from your truth, Lord. I know we're even smaller in number, dear God, than we even usually are. And I just pray, dear God, that you'll speak double to every heart. Hallelujah, dear God. I pray, Lord, you speak triple to every heart. Maybe even quadruple, Lord. I pray, dear God, you'd speak much into every one of our hearts on this Christmas day. And that it will truly influence and flavor and change the rest of our day. We have family gatherings, dear God, coming up. And we're thankful for that. I pray, dear God, Lord, that we would see Jesus in the midst of it. Hallelujah. And that others that we gather with, maybe they don't even know you, dear God, but they'll see Jesus in your people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Cradle, cross, and crown. It's all from you. And it all points to you. And I want to thank you, dear God, for it on this Christmas day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we just gather our hearts, Lord, before you. We desire, dear God, to hear from you, to be changed by what we hear. And, Lord, then send us forth, dear God, out of this building, Lord, and into this world to live for Jesus Christ and be very, very thankful for this Christmas day. Praise God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. That's the title of what's before us here today. And the story actually takes place in Baltimore. Okay? No, it's not a football game. It's a church in Baltimore. They found the answer to their financial troubles on the wall of their church. And you're wondering, what? They found the answer to their financial troubles on the wall of their church. It had been hiding there for more than 25 years. Someone finally recognized a piece of art hanging in the chapel. It was a valuable woodblock print by Albrecht Dürer, dated 1493. Worth a lot. The work shows the angel telling Mary that she would give birth to God's Son. I wonder if the picture here at Rogers Chapel is like that. Does anybody know what picture hangs in the hallway?
Jesus.
Hmm? Jesus? Do you know which picture? Which Jesus? By that I mean, what famous picture? It's called Solomon's Head of Christ. It's probably the most famous depiction of Jesus. Now, obviously, we don't know what Jesus actually looked like, but that's one of the most famous ones. Solomon's Head of Christ. I'm not going to run back and take it off the wall and show it to you. You can just notice as you're leaving. It's all done in bronze. And I told you before, I was in a prayer meeting one time, and that picture was, not that one, but Solomon's Head of Christ was on the wall. And one of the guys, who was not of that race, got upset because it didn't depict Jesus in his own race. And I thought, how foolish. How foolish to just kind of toss something that can remind you of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just because it doesn't have the exact color skin that you do. He probably didn't have the exact color skin that we have. Okay? I mean, he was from the Orient, basically. And he was, born of Mary and Jewish. And so, you know, he probably didn't look exactly like us either. You get all bent out of shape about that? I don't get all bent out of shape about that. I think we need to just keep our eyes on the real Jesus. Amen? And that they own those kind of pictures, they only help remind us that this place is about Jesus. Amen? So take a look at it on your way out. Amen? Praise God. All right. Now listen, some members just could not believe that they had been unaware of the value of the old masterpiece. Basically saying, in effect, if it were real, why would it be here? Think about that. If it were really real, why would it be here? Why did Jesus come anyway? Did he really come for me? Did he really come for you? Did he really come to give you life, eternal life, and a life on this earth, live for Jesus Christ? Okay? Do you hear me? If it were real, why would it be here? Praise God. And what about us? Are we overlooking the value of the event that was depicted on that famous painting in that church in Baltimore? That woodblock print that's several hundred years old. The announcement that Jesus was going to be born and that he was going to be king. Amen? He was going to be king. Jesus isn't hiding. The truth that God came to earth in human form is plainly announced in his word. It is reflected in our art and in our hymn books. But the significance of Christ's birth is still neglected by so many today. We get so wrapped up in activities and programs and everything else that we miss the immeasurable worth of knowing who that baby was. And if that picture, if this truth of Jesus coming, even at the pronouncement to Mary, if it were real, why would it be here? I want to ask Joel to come up here. We're short one of our three people that we're going to light this Advent wreath. But we're gonna do it. We're gonna make it. Okay? Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Cindy was going to tell you, first of all, about the cradle and pull all of this together. We've been looking at the cradle, the cross, and the crown. And through these candles, we want to pull this all together. Okay? Would you turn to Luke chapter 2, please? Luke chapter 2. It says in Luke chapter 2, in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. They oftentimes did that, by the way. They would take clothes or cloths and wrap up babies pretty tight. They believed this would help. You know how babies are. They got their legs and they look like they're all bow-legged and so forth. You know, their legs aren't ready to walk. But they used to wrap them up pretty tight, and that would help straighten out, they felt it helped to straighten out their legs. Not to mention, we do the same thing really in our nurseries, in our hospitals. You'll see babies and they're wrapped up pretty tight too. Do you know why they're wrapped up that tight? I think it's to, what I heard anyway, was to protect themselves from themselves. You know, as they would be flailing their arms around with their fingernails and so forth, they could, you know, scratch themselves, okay? And maybe even hurt themselves, poke their eyes, or, you know, whatever. Anyway, Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's what it says. And she laid him in a manger. She laid him in a manger. Now you remember last night I told the story of the making of the cradle. And of course, if indeed Joseph and Mary had a cradle ready to go for Jesus, they never got to use it because they took off for Bethlehem and ended up not having any place to stay, and evidently didn't have a cradle as such, so it fell to the use of a manger, a feeding trough. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them in the inn. Might have been only one inn, one place to stay in the whole place. And the place was, you know, pretty well jam-packed. People were coming and going and so forth, and they didn't have any room. So one way or another, whether it was the innkeeper that gave them the place at the stable or gave them a manger for the baby to lie in or whatever, whatever way it actually happened, he was in a manger. Similar to a cradle, but a manger. Praise God. And what would that say to us? That would say that Jesus came here to be our nourishment. Right? Because what's laid in a manger? Generally speaking, it's hay. It's stuff for animals to eat. And so he became the fodder, as I said last night. He became the food of the sheep, the lambs, the cattle, whatever. But for us, he becomes our food. Amen? He becomes our food. I mean, I'm not saying that the animals ate them, but it was a picture of where the animals found their sustenance. And we can find our sustenance in him. Amen? At the manger, at the cradle. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's not to be ignored, I believe. I think it's important to say it. Praise the Lord. Amen? Joel, you want to light the next candle? And Joel's going to talk about the cross a little bit.
Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. These last three candles, including the Christ candle from last night's Advent wreath, the one in the middle, will speak of all three of these aspects. The cradle, the cross, and lastly, the crown. In Revelation chapter 4, it's, I believe, already after the rapture, and there's about to be this great tribulation that comes upon the earth, and there's a state before we get into the judgments and so forth that come out of that tribulation, we find what happens in heaven. Specifically chapter 4 is about that. And it says in verse 10 of chapter 4, Revelation,
it says the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns. Cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That's our God. And that's why He comes to us. That's why, even if He's real, we can believe He belongs here. Amen? The church wondered about that picture. If it's real, then what are we doing with it? Why is it here? And I think we need to come to grips with the fact that that's why God came to us. Because it is real. And He wants it to change our hearts and our lives. Amen? Through the cradle, through the cross, and through the crown. Praise the Lord. Amen? All right. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this gathering. And even now, as this message begins, dear God, I do pray, Lord, that You'll just have Your way in every one of our hearts and bring us into Your fullness, dear God, this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Glory be to God. All right, I think we can also see this very clearly in the Christmas story itself. So if you're not already there, turn to Luke chapter 2. Praise the Lord. I mean, we saw it all through the book of Daniel over these last several weeks and in the Christmas story. But in we'll go back to Luke chapter 2. And take a look at this. Luke chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Just what Joseph and Mary would need, right? Well, guess what? It was what they needed. You know, we have a tendency to look at life that way. I know I do. I look at something or something difficult happens, some problem. And through the years, there have been many of them. And even things that aren't even all that important. And you go, I didn't need that. How many times have you done that, right? I didn't need this. I don't want this. Well, but listen, if everything's in God's hand, then He's going to use it for His glory. And He's going to use it to bring us closer to Himself. Amen? So we do need that. They needed even this taxation. Why? Because it would get them out of Nazareth and into Bethlehem at just the right moment for Jesus to be born. It had been prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, I believe it is, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. So how are they going to get to Bethlehem? This is how God did it. Amen? Praise God. Our God is in control. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city. Do you ever get touched by the sequence of those things? The movement that God brought them through. I mean, here she is, what, 8.5 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant, who knows, and she's making a 90-mile trip, you know? I mean, and maybe on the back of a donkey, maybe walking. The Bible never mentions any donkey. So, I mean, it could be either way. Either way, 90 miles is a long way, amen? For a pregnant woman, for sure. For anybody, 90 miles is a long way. But Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. God had a plan here, and they knew it. This is the crucial thing. They knew it. They knew God was their king. They knew He was the one wearing the crown for the world to see. They knew that when God said, do it, you do it. Don't argue with it. Don't say, well, you know, I'm too pregnant.
I can't possibly make the trip. I'll do it next month. What do you say? We do it next month. Even that would be pretty tight, right? No, these two people, they knew God was calling them to go. And God had a purpose in it. And it was to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And that would put them in Bethlehem. And that's where they needed to be. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, a cradle, if you will, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, and they were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. A lot of commentators suggest that these were probably sacrificial lambs and sheep. They were probably for the temple services, and these shepherds were taking care of them. Probably not too far from Jerusalem, maybe just 2 or 3 miles out. It's hard to say. And lo, all of a sudden, lonely field, no but nothing going on, they're you just there. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. That happens a lot in the Bible, by the way. An angel shows up, and what's the first thing the angel says? Don't be afraid. That means they look like something to be afraid of. I mentioned earlier in the Advent season that there's one instance of a description of how big an angel is when in the book of Revelation he stands with 1 foot on one side of the river and 1 foot on the other side of the river. This is not just your typical little fat baby with nothing on, or not much on, you know, shooting people with bows and arrows. The Cupid, you know. No, these angels are awesome. Fearsome. Made everybody they saw be afraid. But the angel says, don't be afraid, because I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I told you, I believe it was just last night, I told you it answers every question that you could possibly raise. Doesn't it? For unto you is born, what? This day, when? In the city of David, where? A Savior, who? Which is Christ the Lord. Why? So where's the how? God did it. God put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus to call for a census and a taxation. And sure, it's the last thing anybody wanted to do. But Joseph and Mary just kind of hopped to it and went on down. And God brought Jesus into the world. Amen? It's going to be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That was not usual. That was not normal. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Normally they'd be in the inn or they'd be at mama's house. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one unto another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now one thing I've noticed in the Bible over the years is that a lot of times the Bible makes a special point of showing how what people are like. It does. It goes ahead. It doesn't try to hide anything. When David blows it, makes it clear. When somebody else messes up, it makes it clear. The Bible's pretty clear about stuff. It doesn't try to coat it with, you know, candy sugar or whatever. It, you know, it says it like it is. It makes it clear there's sin. And there's a reason for that. So that you know God answered that. God knows, God has all the answers. The who, what, when, where, why, and the how of it. God has. And he gave it to them. Told them there's going to be this babe in the manger. It's not normal. Not normal at all. But there you would find them. And I mentioned the other night too, I I think you can notice that the angels never told them to go find the baby. The angels never said, go find it. They did say that this will be a sign unto you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Well, that's if you see it seriously and go out there and try to find him. You don't want him, you're not going to see him. Same thing goes today. I've run into a lot of people that don't really want him because it means an end to the self-life, an end to what you want to do. I want this and I want that. But God wants certain things in our lives too. And when we come and we receive that and we take that seriously, then the self dies. And that's the best thing ever. Amen? That's why there's a cross. Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. Die to self. Do what I call you to do. I know what's best for you. Praise God, he does. And they came with haste. I want you to notice the shepherds did not say, I don't want to go. I'm tired. I want to lay down, maybe take a nap, get a few Z's. You know, nobody did that. One, you know, it's let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which already has happened. Not might happen, has happened. Let's go. And they came with haste. They rushed to it. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They probably went door to door and just told everybody about it. Did anybody go and see it? I don't know. Maybe some did. We're not told. Maybe nobody did. We're not told. But they still went out and gave it to everybody. Amen? And it's the same thing with the church today. Whether they hear or whether they forbear, the Bible says, you still give them Jesus. Amen? You still give them Jesus. And they went around telling them everything concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered. So at least the people go, you know, huh, I wonder what this means. I mean, at least they did that. But you better not stay back at the place of wondering. You've got to go find Jesus. Amen? It's not enough to go, I wonder what that means. Then close the door and go back to watching TV. You know, no. There's a call. There's a call to find this Jesus and let Jesus be your everything. Told everybody. But Mary, we're told, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Went back to their sheep, in other words. I have a strong suspicion they preached to their sheep. And then I think when they went back into Jerusalem, they might have told a few others along the way. I wouldn't be at all surprised. Why? Because they met Jesus. They met Jesus and they knew that he was the one that God had promised. The angel told them that. And angels don't lie. Amen? And angels don't normally appear in a dark sky and light up the whole place like a nighttime football game. And not normally. That's not normally what you hear about. But praise God those angels did and started the whole ball rolling by giving it to the ones who wanted it. And that's what we're supposed to be. A church that truly wants this Jesus. Wants his birth. Wants his life. Wants his ministry. Wants his suffering. Wants his death. Wants his resurrection. Wants his ascension into heaven. Wants his praying for his church at the right hand of the Father. If we don't want that, we're not going to know it. We're not going to receive it. It's like the kid standing there with the hands behind his back. You know, father or mother's trying to hand him his first present of the morning. Maybe his only present of the morning. He's got his hands behind his back. He doesn't really care that much. You're not going to receive anything if you don't reach out and take it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's missing, I think, a lot of times, is true worship. True worship. We've got to think about the meaning of his birth, that Jesus is God. He came to save us from our sins. He came to give us eternal life, it says in John chapter 3. And this Christmas, we need to truly join with the shepherds, but the story doesn't end, you know. We gotta join with the wise men too. Amen? We'll get to that another time. Praise the Lord. And give praise to Jesus because God became man. Amen? God became man. Now, for those that don't see that, and I'm not just talking here, I'm saying generally through the world. If for those that don't see that, for those that don't want to see it, because if you don't see it, it's because you don't want to see it. You don't have your eyes open to it. Okay? You don't want to see it. And like I said, mostly it's because you don't want your self-life to come to an end. You don't want, you know, what I want this. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You don't want that to be gone. So you look the other way. If you don't want to receive His greatest of gifts, He Himself, there's not going to be any receiving of it. If you don't want it, your hands are going to be in your pockets. They're going to be behind your back. You're not really going to be receiving. It's kind of like He's hidden. It's kind of like He's even hiding from you. Now, He's not really. He's actually in plain sight. But if you don't want to see Him, there's a sense in which He's hidden. Hidden by your lack of desire. And I'm not just speaking here. I'm speaking overall. Actually, Jesus is in plain sight and always has been. Do you remember back in the 80s, I believe it was, there was a movie came out. It was called E.T. It was about an extraterrestrial, friendly extraterrestrial that came and visited with this family, and the kids all knew that he was in the house, and they were hiding him from room to room, closet to closet, and so forth, so Mom wouldn't find out. That'd be something for Mom to find out, wouldn't it? Got an alien there in your closet. Well, one scene, they open up the closet door, and there's a whole big pile of stuffed animals. And if you look carefully, in the middle of all of that is E.T.'s face. He's in with all these stuffed animals. And the picture is, and the meaning of it is, he's hidden in plain sight. He's right there. You can see him if you want to. But if you're not expecting him, if you don't know he's there, then you're probably just going to see a bunch of stuffed animals, and he's just one of the stuffed animals. You wouldn't remember this. I've probably told the story before, but you weren't there when it happened. Years ago, when our last dog, Dietrich, a schnauzer, was just a puppy, we were trying to teach him not to do wrong things. And one thing, he wasn't supposed to get into the flower beds. Well, there was one flower bed in that first year of his life that was just so very attractive to him. It was a whole bed of marigolds. And all these orange flowers, yellow flowers, and so forth in through there. And one time we looked over, and we couldn't find him. I mean, we couldn't see him. He wasn't right nearby, and you know, we got a little bit anxious. And so we looked over to the marigolds, and there he was, just his face. You only saw his face. He's in the patch of flowers, and it's just flowers all around. But there's this little schnauzer face. Okay. If you weren't looking for him, you probably wouldn't even see him. He was hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. Hidden but not hidden. See, it depends on what you want to see. I want you to, you could hold your finger there at Luke 2 if you'd like, but I want you to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy. Okay? Back to the book of Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 30. Okay? Chapter 30, and beginning with the 11th verse. Chapter 30, verse 11. All right? This is Moses' closing advice to the people. It says in verse 11, "For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee. It is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, well, who's going to go up for us to heaven and bring it down to us that we may hear it and we may do it? It's not way far away that you need somebody to go get it for you. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and that we may do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, very close to thee, very nearby, in my mouth and in my heart, that thou mayest say, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Amen? Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We have a responsibility for the next generation. We have a responsibility for those that are around us. It might be at school, it might be on the job, it might be elsewhere in the home, it might be extended family, it could be all kinds. We have a responsibility to choose life ourselves and then live that life in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. It says that both you and your seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, verse 20, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Elsewhere in the scripture it says, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. You know? I mean, that's what God is. He's for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. He is not really hidden in the normal sense of the word. But you could make a case for him being hidden in plain sight. Amen? All through the Old Testament. I mean, you could go through all the other kings, you know, the Solomons, the Davids, and you go through all of that. But just in this Advent season alone, we have been looking at the string of kings that we find in the book of Daniel. And we are making a connection that those kings are in this string to point the way to the ultimate king, to Jesus. I made this point even the other night. Remember, there was Nebuchadnezzar. There was Belshazzar, there was Darius, there was Cyrus, and then not long after that, the Greeks came in and took over Palestine, took over Israel. Alexander the Great, he's a famous name, right? And then there are the Romans after that, and of course, Caesar Augustus. And remember what it said in the Christmas story, that it came to pass that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that all the world should be taxed. Why? He thought it was to gather more money. He thought it was to be in more control of the people and know where everybody is, because there was a census and a registration that was taking place at the same time, and possibly one of the big reasons for that was to be able to tax everybody. That's what he thought the reason was, but that's not what the reason was. The reason was to get a young couple down to Bethlehem at the right time. Amen? I mean, the whole thing points to Jesus. Hidden to those who want to perish is what it boils down to. You want to perish, you'll just keep turning your back on God. You just keep turning away from Jesus and don't listen to what He has to say. That's how you perish. But praise God, Jesus is actually in plain sight. Amen? In plain sight. And seen by those who want to live. Praise the Lord. It was David McCasland who once told the story. He said, during a December visit to New York City's Metropolitan Museum of Art, I paused to admire the magnificent Christmas tree. Amen? I remember the other day when we were passing through the lobby getting ready to go home at Children's Hospital, already finding out how well Lily was doing and so forth. And Lily looked up and she saw this huge Christmas tree in the lobby. And she said, look, Papa, stars. And I'm thinking, no kidding. I mean, why wouldn't you expect to see a star on a Christmas tree? I know some people put angels on top, but you know, a lot of people put stars. We have a star on top of ours. You don't have to have a star, by the way. You can put an angel or maybe something else or, you know, whatever. Just a ball of lights would work as well for a top. But a lot of times it's a star at the top. This tree was plastered with stars. And that's what Lily was talking about. There were stars all over this tree. Now that's not normal. Not usual. I'm not saying it's never happened, right? But it's not the usual thing. Yeah, Lily?
There was no star on the top.
And there was what?
No star on the top.
No star on the top. The tree was made of stars. Amen? Pointing the way to Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this guy goes to the New York City Metropolitan Museum of Art and he sees this huge tree. Now, watch. Below the tree is an 18th century nativity scene. And I'm not just talking about a couple shepherds, a lamb or two, and three wise men, and a couple camels, and all of that. I'm not talking about like normal, or like over here, where there's what? Probably no more than 10 people, and a couple of animals, plus an angel, in the nativity scene. I'm talking about hundreds! Hundreds were in this nativity scene below the tree. 200 figures, including shepherds, the magi, the crowd of townspeople. Now, like I said, we're not really told that a bunch of people gathered at the manger. But maybe. I mean, they were all told about it. Maybe. And David, as he stands there looking at this nativity scene, he's looking in anticipation towards the manger and gazing up in awe at all of the angels that are all over this tree. But one figure appeared different from the rest, and that's what he focused on. That's what he saw. A barefoot man who carried a heavy load on his back and looked at the ground. Couldn't get his eyes off the ground. Weighed down. Bowed down. And it struck David that this man, like so many people today, are so weighed down that they can't even see the Messiah. They're not even looking up. How do they even see Him? And I'm not talking about people that are burdened down with hard work or stressful family situations or personal loss. These things are life. And everybody knows that. I mean, at least we should. These things are all a part of life for everybody. I'm not minimizing them. I'm just saying that's not what this is talking about. Or at least it shouldn't be just that. That it's people having a hard time. It's not just that. It's the burden of sin. And there's only one person who can take care of that burden of sin. And that's Jesus. Amen? Came to be in a cradle, as it turns out, a manger. Went to a cross and wore a crown. Praise God. Amen indeed. But we should remember that Christ came into our world to lift us all up who are bowed down by sin. Jesus used the words of Isaiah to announce His God-given mission on earth. You remember that? It's quoted in the New Testament, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus came to lift our burdens so that we can raise our eyes and welcome Him at Christmas. Amen? Welcome Him at Christmas. Now, if it were all real, all these things I've been telling you about, if it's all real, why would it be here? Why does God want to be here in this little church? Right here. Why? Well, the Bible tells us, you know, the Bible doesn't let this go by. The Bible tells us, because God so loved the world. And God loves so everybody in that world. Amen? And now we can truly love Him as we proceed from this Christmas day and on to New Year's and on to the new year itself, Lord willing. But don't forget, for those that don't want to see Him, He's hidden. But He is hidden in plain sight. You just got to want to see. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father God, we just want to thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and grace, for all Your love. Lord, You are a glorious God. You, Lord, are the only one, dear God, that we can look to and find our strength in, dear God, and You will be praised. Hallelujah. You will be praised. And I pray, dear God, that Your Spirit will truly touch us in this Christmas day. Keep our focus, Lord, on how merciful it is that You came and gave the greatest gift of all. We may be looking forward this afternoon, dear God, to gifts, things we knew about, things we didn't know about, and we may be looking forward to them, Lord, and I don't know that there's anything wrong with that. I think that's a good thing. We need to be thankful to other people who care so much for us, dear God, and that we care for others as well. But Lord, there's a greater gift yet, and that's Jesus. Hallelujah, the cradle, the cross, the crown. That's Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, for our Jesus. In Jesus' name, we rejoice and we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'd like you to turn to number 273, and we'll close this service with God Rest Ye Merry. No, it's Good Christian Men Rejoice. Yeah, it's Good Christian Men Rejoice. Praise the Lord. It's 273. Praise God. 273. Let me get there. 270. Here we go. Good Christian Men Rejoice. Number 273.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before Him bow, and He is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain His everlasting hall. Christ was born for thee. Christ was born to save.
Amen? Oh yes, praise the Lord. And give Him some more glory. Amen? Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, dear God. I wanted to share by way of benediction here today a poem that's called This Gift of Jesus. It was written by my sister a number of years ago, and I have shared it with you before, but listen to it. God's plan began that silent night, a way to show His powerful might. His Son in a lowly manger lay, a cross would be His fate one day. Manger to cross to heavenly place, He ushered in this time of grace. With faith this miracle we trust, with love we share, it is a must. It was our sin Christ came to take, His love so pure will not forsake. We thank our God, for He knew our need, this gift of Jesus, the best indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Pray with me, please. Father, thank you once again, dear God, for this gathering. I do pray, Lord, keep our hearts and spirits in this day and in these coming days. And we look, dear God, to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in God's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.